It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Well, welcome everybody to the RTC Weekly Download for another hour of great old-time radio. Today we're going to have some drama, and we're going to follow that up with a little bit of crime, because criminal stuff's always interesting to listen to. But our drama is the Radio City Playhouse. And this is something involving the long-distance telephone. Those people that can remember back to wired telephones, well, long-distance was the wires that ran all the way across the country, and you paid more money to do that. And making the call, sometimes you had to wait for the operator to find a line that would go all the way across the country that was clear, and they would call you back, and that's when you could make your call. So it was a different time and place, and interesting all the same. So here's our story, the Radio City Playhouse and Long Distance.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 1. Radio City Playhouse is a theater of the air that has been built to an extraordinarily simple design. In radio drama, there is no substitute for a fine story expertly told. So, if a script meets the highest standards of excellence, it may come from any writer, anywhere. So long as the performance is truly inspired, it may be given by any artist without regard to name or fame. We hope you'll listen each week to our new series, and if you feel like writing to us about our plays, we will deeply appreciate your comments. Now, here is Long Distance, Attraction 1 of Radio City Playhouse. Written and directed by a brilliant young newcomer to American radio, Harry W. Junkin, and starring Jan Miner as Mrs. Leon Jacks, who is seated at a telephone table in her home.
Warden, you don't understand. After all, you're the warden of the prison.
Mrs. Jacks, I can't just act on your say-so. You've left it too late. I'd like to help you.
Warden, try to understand. I've called the governor, but I can't get him. This letter proves that my husband didn't commit the murder. Why can't I make you see? My husband would never have been found guilty if we could have produced this letter at the trial.
Mrs. Jacks, we always have these telephone calls before an execution. I know how you feel. I'm terribly sorry for you, but there's nothing I can do. You didn't produce this letter at the trial.
I know we didn't produce it. That's what I'm telling you. I found it tonight, quite by accident, between the lining and the covering of my overnight bag. If we could have produced it at the trial, my husband would never have been... Well, the case would have been dismissed. Can't you understand that you're... that he's innocent? You're executing an innocent man.
But, Mrs. Jacks, I tell you, it's not in my power. I know how you feel. Believe me, I do. Telephone me half an hour before an execution and start talking about some letter you found. I just can't do it, Mrs. Jacks. It's something that's out of my hands. I don't have the proper authority.
Oh, you're so stupid. I tell you, this letter changes everything. At least you can delay the execution for 24 hours until you've investigated. You can't kill him, I tell you. It's monstrous, wicked.
Mrs. Jacks, believe me, I can't do anything
for
you.
Well, then who can? There must be somebody that...
The governor's the only man in New York State who can stay an execution.
But I tell you, I called him. He's out of town, the lieutenant governor's out of town, everyone's out of town. And it's only half an hour until I...
Mrs. Jacks, believe me, I'd like to help you, but
you can't do it, I tell you. You can't. He's innocent. This letter proves he's innocent.
Mrs. Jacks, tell me, who is the appeal judge?
McLean. Judge McLean.
Uh-huh. Well, under the circumstances, well, I mean, naturally, we want to be just... If you can get Judge McLean to phone me here at the prison, I'll delay the execution 24 hours.
You will?
Judge McLean is the only man who can help you. I'm sorry.
All right, thanks. I'll call him. M.C. McLean. McLean, here it is. Judge John C. Eldorado 50599. Eldorado 50599. E.L. 50599. Please, God, let him be in. Answer. Oh, answer, why don't you?
Hello?
Is Judge McLean there, please?
I'm sorry, he's not. He's out of town.
Out of town?
This is Mrs. McLean speaking. May I take a message?
Where is he?
Well, he went to San Francisco the day before yesterday. Who is speaking?
San Francisco? You mean he's on a train somewhere?
No, he flew out. Who is this speaking?
Mrs. McLean. It's Mrs. Leon Jacks speaking. Mrs. Leon Jacks.
Oh.
Do you know who I am?
Oh, yes, yes, I know.
Mrs. McLean, you've got to help me. I don't know if you remember at the trial, there was a lot of talk about a letter which never turned up. We couldn't produce the letter that would prove my husband was in Canada on Armistice Day and couldn't have committed the murder. I've never given up looking for it, and tonight I found it quite by accident. It had slipped down between the lining and the covering of my overnight bag. I knocked the bag down off a shelf and it sprung open and the letter fell out. And are you listening?
Yes. Yes, I'm listening.
Well, I phoned the prison. For a moment, I was so stunned. Anyway, I phoned the prison, and they told me that Judge McLean was the only man who could stop them from killing Leon. If I could just talk to Judge McLean, I mean, he'd recognize at once the importance of my finding this letter. The man at the prison doesn't understand the whole prosecution rested on the fact that we couldn't produce the letter at the trial.
Mrs. Jacks, when is the execution?
In a little over 20 minutes. I've never given up. That's why I'm not at the prison with Leon. I've never stopped working, trying to prove his innocence. I just got back from Canada tonight and was going out to be with him when they... And then I found it. Mrs. McLean, I've got to talk to your husband.
Mrs. Jacks, phone him in San Francisco. He's at the Golden State Hotel.
Golden State Hotel.
He always stays there. I'm sure you can reach him.
Oh, all right. I'll try. Thanks.
And please let me know if there's anything else
yes.
I can do.
Yes, thank you.
I know it'll be all right. Yes. I just know it
thank
will
Thank you. Goodbye. One. Long distance.
Long distance.
Long distance. I want to call San Francisco, the Golden State Hotel, Judge J.C. McLean.
Judge J.C. McLean.
That's right.
Is that M.C. capital L-E-A-N?
That's right.
Golden State Hotel, San Francisco?
Yes, operator.
And what is your number, madam?
It's Region 4, 9970.
Region 4, 9970?
Yes, operator.
And your name, madam?
Mrs. Leon Jacks, J-A-C-K-S.
Thank you, madam. I will call you.
Operator, this is a very important call. How long will you be?
The circuits are busy, madam. I will call
but
you.
But how long will it take?
It's hard to say, madam. I'll call you as soon as I
operator,
can.
Operator, I have to know how long this call will take. It's very urgent. It's very urgent.
The circuits are busy west of Chicago, madam. There are several calls ahead of yours. I'll put it through as quickly as possible.
Let me speak to the chief operator, please.
Yes, madam. Just a moment, please.
Chief operator, Miss Milton speaking.
Operator, I'm calling San Francisco on a very urgent matter, and I've got to get through as quickly as possible.
Whom do you wish to call in San Francisco?
Operator,
madam?
You don't understand. I gave all that information to the other operator. She said the circuits were busy. I just wanted to tell you why it was so important that my call be put through at once.
Yes, madam.
My name is Jacks. Mrs. Jacks. My husband is Leon Jacks.
And your phone number, madam?
Oh, what difference? It's Regent 49970, but operator, the
Regent
important...
Regent 49970?
Yes. Operator, my husband, I don't know whether you read the papers or not, but my husband is being executed tonight for murder, for a murder that he didn't commit. Do you understand that?
Yes, madam.
Well, this man in San Francisco is the only one who can stop the execution. I've uncovered, quite by accident, I've uncovered new evidence. I've got to speak to Judge McLean quickly because the execution is, well, it's in 20 minutes, less than that now, and he's the only man that can make them stop. Operator... It's a matter of a man's life. Do you understand that?
I will see that your call is put through as quickly as possible.
Ahead of the others?
I'll do the best I can, madam.
Well, may I hold the line?
I'll call you, madam.
Oh, all right. But hurry, operator. Hurry. Please, God. let him be near a telephone. Don't let him be out. Please, God. 15 minutes more. Oh, God, help me. Please. Please, God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, God, don't let them kill Leon. He didn't do it. You know he didn't do it. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Leon never hurt anybody in his life. Please, God, let him save him. Oh, God, I love him so. Hello?
Your call to San Francisco, madam, for Judge J.C. McLean.
Yes, yes, have you got him?
There is no Mr. McLean. I mean, no Judge McLean registered at the Golden State Hotel.
But, operator, he must be registered. His wife said he always stayed there.
Just a moment, madam. I'll check them again. Hello, operator.
Yes, operator?
Would you check that name again, please? J.C. McLean. My party is sure that Judge McLean is registered.
They have no Judge McLean, operator. They have a Mr. McLean in 701 from Toledo, Ohio. That's the only McLean registered.
Operator.
Yes, madam.
That must be the right McLean. His wife told me just a minute ago that he was there. He always stays at the Golden State Hotel. Please, have them check it again. And hurry, operator.
Just a moment, madam. Hello, operator.
Oh, for heaven's sake, what are you doing, operator?
Hello, operator. This is New York on circuit 412. Is it clear?
Oh, please.
Hello?
Hello, New York.
Operator, would you connect me with the room clerk of the Golden State Hotel, please? This is an urgent call.
Right.
Oh, hurry. Hurry. What on earth are they doing?
Just a moment, sir. Oh. Hello, room clerk.
Hello, sir. This is New York calling a Judge J.C. McLean. I believe you have a Mr. McLean registered from Toledo.
What is the name again, operator?
McLean. M.C. capital L-E-A-N.
That's right, operator. Room 701.
This is an urgent call, sir. Are you sure that he is not Judge J.C. McLean of New York City?
No, operator. Mr. McLean is from Toledo, all right. He stays here frequently.
Operator.
Just a moment, sir. Yes, madam.
Operator, can you find out if they sent Judge McLean to another hotel? He should have arrived sometime yesterday.
Just a moment, madam. Hello, sir.
Yes, operator.
Sir, can you tell me if the hotel has any record of... I want to try and trace Judge McLean. If he applied for a room yesterday and you sent him to another hotel, would there be any record of that?
Well, what do you have a reservation, operator?
Just a moment, sir. Did Judge McLean have a reservation, madam?
Oh, I don't know whether he had a reservation or not. I thought if the hotel was full and they'd send him someplace else, they might know where, that's all.
Hello, sir.
Yes, operator.
My party doesn't know whether Judge McLean had a reservation or not.
No, he didn't, operator. I have the reservation list here. There's nothing for Judge McLean.
Is there any way we can locate Judge McLean that you know of, sir? The call is urgent.
Urgent? It's a matter of life and death. What are they doing? Hello? Hello? Operator? Oh, what's the matter? Why don't you answer me?
Sorry, madam. There seems to be no way of tracing your party.
Oh, operator, what can I do? I've just got to find him.
In case Judge McLean does register at the Golden State, madam, I can try in 20 minutes.
20 minutes? But I told you that... Oh, never mind. Let it go.
You wish the call canceled, madam?
Yes. Yes.
Brent Theater.
Oh, no! Oh, dear, dear God, help me. Him. McLean. Eldorado 50599. 50599.
Hello?
Mrs. McLean? It's Mrs. Jax again. I can't locate your husband. He's not at the hotel, not registered even. Is there any place else, any other hotel where he might be?
Yes. Try my sister.
Sister?
It's Mrs. D.C. Hilda, Cypress Drive. That's C-Y-P-R-U-S Drive, Oakland.
D.C. Hilda, Cypress Drive. All right, thanks.
If he isn't there, she'll know where he is. I can't understand why he isn't at the hotel. He always...
Thanks, Mrs. McLean. I have to hurry. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Long distance.
Let me speak to the chief operator, please.
Thank you, madam. Just a moment, please.
Chief operator, Miss Milton speaking.
Operator, it's Mrs. Jax again. I have a call to San Francisco again. I mean, I want to put it through again. I mean, it's Oakland.
Yes, madam.
It's to Mrs. D.C. Elder, Cypress Drive, Oakland.
D.C. Elder. Is that C-Y-P-R-E-S?
The U.S. operator.
C-Y-P-R-U-S. Cypress Drive.
That's right. And hurry, operator. Police.
Yes, madam. Hold the line, please.
Chicago.
New York calling Oakland, operator.
Right. The circuits are busy, operator.
Will you ring the operator?
Just a moment, operator. I can take it now.
Oakland.
Information, please, operator.
Right. Information.
Operator, the number of Mrs. D.C. Elder, Cypress Drive. New York calling.
Elder, just a moment, operator.
Right.
I have a D.C. Elder, 1138 Cypress Drive, Montclair Highlands. The number is Lakehurst 39136.
Lakehurst 39136.
Right.
Thank you, operator.
Operator.
Lakehurst 39136. New York calling, operator.
Lakehurst 39136.
Mrs. D.C. Elder.
Mrs. D.C. Elder.
Right. You're still calling from Regent 9490.
No, no.
Pardon me. Regent 49970.
That's right, operator, and please hurry. What are they doing? Hello? Operator, what are they... Operator, answer me.
We are ringing Lakers 39136 for you, madam.
Oh, God, please. There's less than 10 minutes left. Why don't they answer?
Hello, operator. Lakers 39136 is DA operator.
Right, operator. Hello, madam. They do not answer. I'm sorry. Shall I try them again in 20 minutes?
No, I told you, you're stupid. Oh, what's the use? I won't give up. I'll get him if I have to.
Hello?
Mrs. McLean?
Yes.
I'm nearly out of my mind. Your sister's number doesn't answer. Mrs. McLean, is there nothing I can do?
Oh, Mrs. Jax, I'm so sorry. They're probably all out to dinner or cocktails or something. They're 3 or 4 hours behind our time out there, aren't they?
Mrs. McLean, what can I do?
Somebody else you can phone here. Surely they wouldn't go ahead with the execution if there were any reasonable doubt of, well, if there was any new evidence.
I've been all through that, Mrs. McLean. I've tried to get the governor, but, oh, what's the use? The prison authority said your husband was the only one who... I'm nearly out of my mind. I can't...
Mrs. Jackson, Mike and his very dear friends, they live right across the street. It's just possible they might all be over there. The name is Henderson. I think it's Robert. Yes, that's right. Robert Henderson.
Henderson?
On Cypress Drive. You phone them. In the meantime, I'll phone the governor's office in Northern Inn.
Henderson?
That's right.
All right, I'll try. 2, 1.
Long distance.
The chief operator, please, and hurry.
Yes, madam.
Chief operator, Miss Milton speaking.
Operator. This is Mrs. Jax again. Operator, see how quickly you can get me San Francisco again. I mean, Oakland. Robert Henderson. No, it's Mrs. Robert Henderson. Cypress Drive again, Oakland.
Mrs. Robert Henderson. Cypress Drive, Oakland.
Why do you repeat everything? Yes, that's right. And hurry, operator, hurry.
Chicago.
New York calling Oakland, operator.
Right. Hold the line, operator.
Can't you tell him to hurry, operator? There's less than 10 minutes left. I've told you how urgent this call is, operator. Can't they hurry it up or something?
We're putting your call through as quickly as possible, madam.
Oakland.
Information, please, operator.
Right. Information.
New York calling, operator. The number of Mrs. Robert Henderson, Cypress Drive.
Henderson. On Cypress Drive, operator?
Yes, operator.
I have a Robert L. Henderson on Crestwood Road,
operator. Oh, for goodness sakes, how can you be so stupid? It's on Cypress Drive. They're right across the street from my friend's sister. Now, you must have them listed.
Hello, operator.
Yes, operator.
Operator, Crestwood Road and Cypress Drive intersect. The houses might be like kitty corner from each other and yet be on different...
Yes, that's it. Ring them and hurry, operator.
What is the Crestwood Road number, operator?
That number is Lakehurst 3, 8197.
Right.
Operator.
Lakehurst 3, 8197. New York calling, operator.
Lakehurst 3, 8197.
Mrs. Robert Henderson.
Mrs. Robert Henderson.
Right. Are you still calling from Region 4-9970?
Of course I'm still calling from Region 4-9970. For goodness sake, stop asking me stupid questions. Don't you understand that I'm trying to save a man's life? Why don't they answer? God, please make them answer. There's only 8 minutes left before...
Hello?
Hello, sir. New York calling. Mrs. Robert Henderson, please.
Well, she's not in at the moment. This is Mr. Henderson speaking.
Operator, he'll do.
Very well, madam. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Henderson?
Yes.
Mr. Henderson, I can't go into a long story. Do you know Judge McLean? I believe his wife's sister lives across the street from you. It's very urgent that I contact Judge McLean at once.
Yes, I know Judge McLean. I drove him to the railway station this morning.
What?
Yes, he caught the Southern Pacific West Coast Limited for Portland this morning.
Oh, Mr. Henderson, I'm in terrible trouble. I've got to locate Judge McLean.
Well, I don't see how you can. He took the train at 10 this morning.
Mr. Henderson, my husband is being executed tonight for murder.
Oh.
A murder he didn't commit. Judge McLean was the judge. I found it. There was a letter we couldn't find all during the trial, and I found it tonight quite by accident, and they told me at the prison that Judge McLean was the only man who could get them to put off the execution. If I don't get Judge McLean, they're going to kill me, aren't
they? Well, that's awful.
Oh, I'm almost sick. I can't talk right now. Do you understand me? Do you?
Yes, I understand. Wait a minute, let me think.
What'll I do? Oh, God, help me. I love him so much. I'll die of him. Please.
What's your name?
Jax. Mrs. Leon Jax.
Listen, Mrs. Jax, you might get Judge McLean at Dunsmuir. That's a town along the line. He phoned some friend to meet him there at the station. The train stops for 15 minutes. It's 20 minutes past 6 here now. The train arrived at Dunsmuir at 6:15. It'll be there now.
Oh, it's no use. I'll never get it.
Try it. Dunsmuir is a small station. The train will be in there now. It's worth a chance.
Dunsmuir?
D-U-N-S-M-U-I-R. The West Coast Limited is the train. And it's Dunsmuir, California. Try it. There is a chance.
All right. Hang up quickly and thanks.
Have you finished, madam?
Is that... the Oakland operator?
Yes, madam.
Operator, you may not be able to do this. A man's life just ended. Operator, can you get me the railroad station at Dunsmuir, California? The depot.
I can connect you with the Dunsmuir operator, madam. Just a moment, please.
Dunsmuir?
Oakland calling, operator. I have an urgent call here from New York City. Can you connect me with the railway station?
Yes, operator. The number is 395.
Can you connect me, operator?
Yes, operator. Just a minute.
Would you just talk to anyone there?
Yes, anyone. Oh, God. If you've ever helped anyone, help me now. Leon's only got 3 minutes left. Die.
Depot.
Hello, sir. New York calling. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Hello. Who's this?
Is there a train in there now, the West Coast Limited?
What? Who's this?
Listen, whoever you are, listen. This is a terribly urgent call. I've got to locate a man who's on the... Did the West Coast Limited just come in there to Portland?
The West Coast Limited is here now, madam. Just came in. Leaves again in 9 minutes.
Listen.
Next stop.
There's a Judge McLean. Have you got that McLean?
McLean? Judge McLean, yes.
He's on that train. I mean, he's in a station somewhere. He was meeting a friend of his who lives in Dunsmuir. Listen, if you can get Judge McLean to this phone, I'll give you $1,000.
What was that, lady? What's that, about $1,000?
Well, listen to me. McLean, have you got that?
Yes, you said that.
Judge McLean.
Yes, Judge McLean.
Tell him he said it a letter. Tell him his wife's been killed. Get him!
Okay, lady. Okay, I'll try. Judge McLean. Urgent call for Judge McLean. Judge McLean.
Judge McLean. Oh, hurry. What's he doing?
started. It's too late. They've killed you. They've done it. Oh, God, make them wait just a little longer. Please, God, make them wait. Don't let them do it. Just 5 minutes more, God. Make the clock slow, God, anything. The same.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Judge McLean?
Yes, this is Judge McLean. Who is it? Where's my wife?
Judge McLean, there's nothing wrong with your wife. This is Mrs. Leon Jacks, Judge. Judge, I found the letter. You know the letter? The one we couldn't find at the trial. It proves Leon and Hilliard were in Montreal that night. You know.
The letter. Yes, you
listen, Judge. They're executing Leon tonight, right now. It may even be too late. You know what this letter means. The whole prosecution rested on the fact that we couldn't produce it. Well, I found it tonight, quite by accident, you understand? It proves Leon is innocent. Do you understand?
Of course I understand. What time was the execution?
Now. They're doing it right now. It's very moment.
Get off the phone. I'll call the prison at once. Get off the phone.
Oh, it's too late. They've done it. And I killed him. I should have found him before. Oh, Leon. Leon. I should have found him before. Oh, Leon. Leon. No, you don't need to tell me. I know. You killed him. You killed the only man I am. Stop it! Stop it! Hello. Leon. Leon? Darling.
You have just heard Long Distance. Attraction 1, Radio City Playhouse, as written and directed by Harry W. Junkin. Jan Miner was heard in the exacting role of Mrs. Leon Jacks. Other players included Anna Karen, Eugene Francis, Gene Tatum, and Frank Thomas. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. Radio City Playhouse is supervised for the National Broadcasting Company by Richard P. McDonald. Next week, Ground Floor Window, a tender and appealing story about a young boy and the heartbreaking challenge that came to haunt his life. It was written by a brilliant young American author, Ernest Kenoy, from whom we expect more great things. We warmly invite you to listen to Ground Floor Window next week, Attraction 2, Radio City Playhouse. Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the national broadcast.
Long Distance, an episode of the Radio City Playhouse. Next, we have Gangbusters, our police drama, the case of the Chicago Tunnel Gang, and it's from 1948.
And now, Gangbusters! Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories.
Saving a dollar, put them in the hole. Gangbusters has asked Lieutenant Thomas J. McGrath, retired of the Chicago Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case.
Thank you, Don Gardner. But first, I'd like to mention that one of your Gangbusters listeners, a Missouri sheriff, just last Sunday apprehended a murder suspect from Ohio whose description he had first heard on Gangbusters. I think that the sheriff and Gangbusters deserve a lot of credit for this latest assist to law enforcement.
Well, thank you, Lieutenant McGrath. As a matter of fact, we hope to have the sheriff himself tell the story of this capture to our Gangbusters listeners on a later program. But now, how about tonight's case?
Well, Don, this case had its beginnings in the city of Chicago just about a year ago on a cold, windy morning. Inside the candy store she ran, Bella Mama, as she was known, straightened the magazines left poured over by the kids who dropped in on the way to school to spend their nickels playing her punchboards. She heard a bell on the front door tinkle and looked up to see a slightly built, red-haired man come in out of the cold.
Hello, Bella Mama.
Mean out.
If you expect warm, go to Florida.
It's coming, don't worry, it's coming. You got a scratch sheet yet?
You know 11 o'clock comes a scratch sheet. Hey, I just ran out the magazines. Keep your hands off, huh?
Okay. Gotta do something waiting for Nick.
Nick's here in the back.
He told me he's gonna get a haircut.
He's getting a haircut in the back.
You're kidding.
In Joliet, they teach Harry the trade to be a barber. So Nick lets him practice and saves a few cents.
Yeah. Don't make any difference. Let Harry butcher him. Save a few cents. That's important, huh?
Sure, it's important.
Yeah, I know. And back, huh?
I just tell you, no?
Bring me a scratch sheet when I get here, will you, Bella Mama?
I bring.
Hello, Nick.
Come in, Red. Hold your head still, will you, Nick?
Yeah, true, Harry. I'm getting nervous.
Okay. You're next, Red.
No, thanks.
What's the matter? I'm doing a beautiful job on Nick.
Just get through and keep the hair from running down the back of my neck.
So you'll take a bath.
Be careful about them baths, Nick. They run up the water bills.
You got some objection to saving money?
I make big, I spend big. A 10-cent tip to a barber? I think nothing about it.
Okay, you don't have to get wise.
Is everything sent?
Set as it'll ever be.
Okay. I want a clean job.
Hold still, Nick.
Yeah.
Well, spell it, Red. The works.
It's an easy mark, Nick. 15 or 20,000. No less.
How much?
Cut the hair.
Okay, but after that haul, I'll throw the scissors right down the sewer.
Let's have it, Red.
The money wagon gets there about 11 o'clock in the morning. Maybe a few minutes sooner, a few minutes later.
And the burglar alarm?
2 cashier's cages. Foot button in each of them.
Foot button? Hey, that's not good.
Cut the hair, will you?
A guy can't even have an opinion around here.
What about the gift shop next door?
Yeah. That's the ticket, all right, Nick. It's a one-man outfit. The guy opens up for business about 9 in the morning.
Okay. We do it that way. Will we have any trouble getting in the gift shop?
None that I can see, Nick. There's a window in the alley. 2 minutes with a jimmy and we're inside.
Hey, what's the gift shop got to do with this? We're taking the check, cash, and outfit. What do we want with the gift shop?
Finish the haircut, will you,
Tell me what the gift shop has got to do with it, and I'll finish the haircut. You think that's the only thing I got to do with this is cut your hair? You know, I got a stake in this thing, too, you know.
We got a burglar alarm to worry about. We can't walk into the joint and heist it just like that. One of those cashiers will step on the button.
Well, what do you need the gift shop for?
You tell him, Red.
Tell him yourself.
Well, somebody tell me.
Look, we break in the gift shop the night before.
So?
We go to work on the wall.
What wall?
What wall do you think? The wall between the gift shop and the check cashing joint.
Oh.
We cut it down to a thin layer of plaster. The truck delivers the money bags, the truck goes. We take a sledgehammer, knock out the plaster, and we're in the joint.
What's the matter? Walking in the front door is too simple for us? We gotta make it a big production?
Look, we knock out the wall, we're in back of the cashier's cage. We can see that they don't put their foot on the button. We make a cleaner getaway.
Well, I don't know. Hey, what about the guy that runs the gift shop? What's he going to do? He's going to stand around and help us?
We'll take care of him.
Yeah, and his customers. Who's going to take care of them?
There won't be any customers. No, the shades will be down. There'll be a nice sign. Closed on account of death in the family.
Nick.
What?
It's after 9. It's 9:05.
Okay, it's 9:05. Just keep your head down.
When is he coming?
What do you think? He's a railroad conductor? He can be 5 minutes late. He owns the store.
Yeah, and for just that reason, he ain't going to like the hole we cut in this wall.
Shut up, will you, Harry? Come here, Red. And what is it?
Yeah, Sure, we're down to the last layer of plaster.
Don't worry about it. One good wallop with a sledgehammer, we're through. They think it's men from Mars.
Mars? If this is Mars, huh?
There's a guy.
Okay. We jump him as soon as he gets inside.
Get
in
here.
Shut the door.
She got it.
Listen.
Come here, you.
He said come here.
Don't shoot.
Please don't shoot.
No, we won't shoot. That was neat, Nick.
Shut up on the names. Track him back and get him tied.
Yeah, come on, Red.
Go on, do it yourself. He won't give you any trouble.
But he's heavy.
Do it yourself, will you? We gotta work this thing out.
All right. Come on, you big jerk.
Gotta get the sign up.
Okay, right away.
Wait a minute.
What?
The money truck pulls up at 11 o'clock.
About then, yeah.
You go outside and wait for it.
It's almost 2 hours.
Go outside and wait in the street. And give me the high sign when the money truck pulls away.
Okay, boss. He ain't going no place.
Okay, grab one of them sledges.
All right, I got mine. Now stand back.
Hey, get easy, will you? Get on that side.
Here, you mean?
Yeah, there. You all set, Red?
I'm set.
Okay. Now, when I give the word, both of you knock out the wall. I'll jump through with the gun, and you come right after me.
Yeah, yeah, come on. Come on, give the word.
Get set, Harry.
I'm set.
Okay, knock it through.
There she goes.
I'm coming through.
Get it. You bet your boss.
Oh, okay, all of you, move to the back.
Go on, move.
Come on, come on. All right, in the closet. All of you.
Get in there, will you?
Go on, you.
Shut it.
All right, lock it.
Yeah.
You got the dough?
Yeah, come on.
Come on, let's go.
Well, what does it come to, Nick?
Let me add it, will you, Red? Yeah. $14,332 and some change.
Who needs a change? Come on, cut it up.
Why don't you wait for Harry to get back from dumping the car?
He'll get his. You take it and you cut it three ways.
Just a second.
Where are you going?
Just a second. Tell him, Mama.
Yeah, Nick?
Come here a minute, will you?
Sure, Nick. What's the matter?
Come in, come in.
What's the idea, Nick?
Tell him, Mama, how'd you like to make a safety note?
This is real money?
What do you think it is, jelly beans? Listen, Bella Mama, when Harry gets back here, tell him things got awfully hot. A couple of cops were around.
Uh-huh.
Red and me, we flew to the hotel. And that he should wait until tomorrow morning and give me a ring on the telephone. Okay?
Why, Nick?
You want your C note?
Sure.
Then never mind why. Give her 100, Red.
Okay. 20, 40...
You take the 100 and tell Harry, huh?
80.
Okay, Nick, if you say.
100.
Hey,
20, 40.
It's all there. Go on, Bella Mama. Get out front.
Sure. You want a spot sheet, Red?
Yeah, bring one in, will you? He ain't got time for horses today. Go on, Bella Mama.
Yeah, I'm going.
What's the pitch, Nick? Well, Harry's good for cutting hair, but he wouldn't know what to do with this kind of dough.
He worked, didn't he? He's got his slice coming.
Don't $7,000 sound better to you than $4,500?
A little better. Harry won't be so pleased.
Well, style him along. I got another job just like this one. It's all set. We could use his help. Then, the kiss off.
Look, you do this to Harry, maybe you got me in mind.
Now, Red.
Don't give me that now, Red business. I know how you are with a buck. We'll cut it half in two right now.
There's plenty of time.
We cut it half in two right now.
Okay, if you want it that way.
Yeah, I want it that way. What happens about Harry when he wises up?
What's the matter? You don't think there's enough water in the lake?
Oh. Yeah, I guess there's plenty.
But we need him on the other job, so we storm. Okay, Ben?
Yeah, okay. Come on. Let's split it half in two.
So, Don, within an hour after this sensational robbery, the ringleaders were already planning to dispose of the weakest member of the gang and share the money between themselves.
But what criminals consider a weak link often proves the strongest wedge for investigating authorities.
Now back to Gangbusters. Lieutenant McGrath, you were telling us that a gang of bandits led by Nick Lococo held up a Chicago currency exchange and robbed it of a large sum of money.
That's right, Don. And the first move of the police was to thoroughly question the witnesses in the case for information that might lead to an identification of these men. The next morning, Captain Rogers and the Chicago detectives went to the hospital where the gift shop proprietor was taken for treatment as a result of the blow on the head he'd received. While the victim rested, Captain Rogers sat alongside his bed, attempting to get facts that would be valuable in the investigation.
Now, Mr. Klein, how much of a look did you get at these men?
Not much at all. I'm afraid they hit me almost as soon as I walked into the store.
Would you be able to recognize any of them if you saw them again?
Well, the one that dragged me back, I don't think I could recognize his face, but when he was pulling me, I did notice something.
Oh? What?
Well, he thought I was unconscious, and I wanted him to think I was so he wouldn't hit me again. But when he was dragging me, I noticed he had a tattoo on his arm.
Huh? Which arm?
Let's see now. He's pulling me backwards. Yes, it was the right arm, between the wrist and the elbow.
Do you remember what kind of a tattoo it was, Mr. Klein?
It was a girl, I think, a bathing beauty.
You sure of that?
Well, I'm pretty sure, Kevin.
Well, I think this will be a lot of help to us, Mr. Klein. If anything turns up, we'll be in touch with you.
Hello, Bellamont.
Oh. Hello, Harry. Say, it's not safe here.
Look, I don't care what's safe anymore. I'm trying to locate Nick.
Well, I didn't see him since yesterday, not since the cops was around. You didn't call him at the hotel?
Yeah, I called him, but he ain't there. I gotta get in touch with him. He's got something of mine.
You know, Harry, I like to help you, but I don't know nothing.
Okay. Give me a change for a quarter. I'll try to call him again.
Sure.
Ain't seen Red either, huh?
No, neither of them. Listen, Harry, the cops was here. You'll get in trouble.
Give me the change.
Sure.
I'll try him once more. How do you like that? I'll get it.
Okay, Harry.
Hello, Bella Mamas.
Let me talk to Bella Mamas.
Is this Nick?
Harry?
Yeah, it's Harry.
I've been trying to reach you all over.
What do you think I've been trying to do? I want my dough.
Red and me, we had to fly. We think we're hot. We spent last night in Kankakee.
And you had to leave me. Well, listen, I need the dough. Where can I meet you?
We decided to pull another job tomorrow in Cedar Grove. We'll pick you up tonight. You know where.
Yeah, I know where, but what about now? I want my end.
You'll get it. We take what we get tomorrow, add it together, and split up the whole business.
But I need it now.
Be there tonight. We'll talk about it.
What's to talk about?
You be there.
Come on, Nick. Let's start splitting up the dough right now. This is the second
Listen,
job.
Harry, right now we got more to think about than splitting up. There's a million cops in the neighborhood. Traffic's pretty bad, eh, Red?
It ain't good.
Well, look, this is the second job I broke my back over, and I ain't seen a dollar yet.
Pull over, Red, quick.
Yeah?
Well, what's the matter?
Listen, Harry, the traffic's heavy. Three guys in the car looks bad. Now, go on. You take the street car to Bellamama's. I'll call you.
Now, wait
a minute. Make it snappy, will you? Every cop in town is headed this way.
Okay, give me the score. I'll take it to Bellamama's.
Get going, will you? We can't
yeah,
stand here.
Nick,
go on. I'll phone you in an hour.
Okay, but be sure you do.
We'll phone him all right, Red. He'll never want to talk on the phone again.
Cashier made an identification, the guy with the tattoo.
Oh?
Yep. She nailed one picture immediately, Harry Wagner. This one.
Ah, good. Good work, Sergeant. Have you got a line on his present whereabouts?
Now, the records show his last address could...
Oh, I'll be right with you, Sergeant. Captain Rogers. Oh? Where? Cedar Grove? Cedar Grove. Okay, we'll get going out there. See you. Come on, Sergeant.
What's up?
Another currency exchange stick-up. Same tunnel game. Let's get out there.
I'm right with you.
Is this Bellamama's?
Yeah, is that you, Nick?
Yeah, it's me, Harry.
Where are you anyway?
Never mind where we are.
Well, listen, where can I meet you? I want my end.
What end?
What end do you think? The dough from those two children? Hey, what's going on?
That's too much money for you, Harry.
Now, listen, Nick, I got a right to my cut.
I'll give you a right to something else. Now, get your things together and get out of town.
Out of town?
Yeah, and the farther the better for you.
Please, Nick, give me some of it. I got a right.
Didn't you just hear me tell you to blow town?
I don't leave without my cut.
Okay, Harry. I'll send a couple of guys over to see you.
What for?
What for do you think? You're going to get pushed.
No, Nick, don't send no guys. I'll get out. Just give me a chance to go home and get my stuff together.
I'll give you nothing. Well, Red, you like the way I handle it?
Not too well, no.
You think you could have done better?
You got his cut, why scare him to death? He might want another free haircut sometime.
The more he's scared, the faster he's out of town.
Nick, you're a wonder. With Harry. But just think twice before you try something like that on me.
Open up, Harry! Open up!
Let's push the door in, Sergeant.
Looks like that's the only way we'll get in. He's got it bolted on the inside.
All right. Together. All right. Once more.
Give it.
Again. Okay, Harry, don't...
Must be around someplace.
Hey, the closet. Watch him now. Okay, Harry. Come out of that closet. Come out of there or we'll shoot through the door. Come on.
Now, listen, Grant. Guys.
Let go, guys, please. I'll get out of town. Tell Nick you can keep my cut. I'll get out of
Hold
town.
Hold on there.
No, look, tell Nick I don't want to get pushed. I'll get out. He can have my end.
Your end of what, Harry? The tunnel jobs?
You. Who are you guys? He didn't send you, did he? You're law.
Yeah, Harry. We're law. What were you saying about Nick?
Nick? Nick, I don't know any such guy, Nick.
Well, you don't, huh? Well, come on, let's go downtown. We'll see how much you do know.
Red.
Hello, Nick. How you doing?
Sit down, Red.
Thanks. Are you buying the drinks?
You got plenty of dough.
So have you.
Listen, for the last time, don't make any more cracks about me being tight with an owl.
Okay, forget it.
You hear anything from Harry?
No.
And you? You must have left town, okay.
So that's it.
Look, Red, I got another guy lined up and another job, prettier than the last two.
What do we do with the other guy after job? Dump him like Harry?
Maybe.
Or is it me this time?
Now, Red.
Just watch your step, Nick. Harry and me are entirely different guys. More ways than one. Hey, bartender, over here.
Well, Captain, I'd say Harry don't know any more than he's told us.
Nothing doing on that hotel address he gave for Nick, huh?
Nope. Nick checked out 3 days ago.
And Red?
Him, too.
Well, I guess Bella Mama's candy store is the only bet, huh?
But it's a good bet.
Okay. Keep a setup on the place. One of them's bound to show up there sooner or later, from force of habit, if nothing else. When one shows up, he'll lead us to the other.
Now back to Gangbusters.
Hello, Bella Mama.
Red, you don't like Bella Mama no more.
I love you, Bella Mama. I love you like a mother.
But I don't see you no more.
Yeah, you know, things got a fast-moving business.
Mm-hmm. How's Nick?
Oh, he's fine, fine. The richer he gets, the more worried he gets about breaking a dollar.
And Harry?
Well, don't see Harry much anymore. Mm-hmm. Hey, get a racing form?
Sure, Red. Help yourself over there.
Advice. There's a couple of good ones going tomorrow.
Bella Mama, don't play the horses.
That's the only thing I don't like about you. You remind me too much of Nick. Keep the change. Hey, Nick.
Yeah?
What's out in Willamette?
The job, Red. What do you think?
You sure nothing else?
What do you mean?
I just want to tell you. I got about $20 in my pocket. And that's all.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Plenty.
If I get an idea, you're going to get me out there and pull a gun.
Now, Red.
Now, Red, me. You don't think I'm dope enough to cart around at 10 grand with me, do you?
I told you, this is a job tonight.
Okay, partner. This is a job tonight.
Take the other bridge, Red. What's the matter?
I think we're being dogged.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's sedan in back. The two guys.
Cops, you think?
Hold on, we'll find out.
They're staying with us.
That's so?
Give them more, Red.
An awful lot of traffic.
Here they come. It's cops, all right.
Hold on, I'm going to take the turn.
Watch it, Red. They're going to crowd us.
Let's go.
Go on, hurry.
Police officer, stay where you are.
Come on. Oh. Okay, copper.
Okay, don't even be moved.
What's the idea?
Take them down, Sergeant.
Yep.
You, keep your hands up.
All right.
That's more like it, Nick. Nothing on him, Captain, except that racing sheet from Bella Mama's. Okay. Go on. Walk over to the sidewalk.
Go on. Walk, he said.
And that, Don, was the end of this notorious gang of tunnel bandits. The ringleaders are now serving maximum terms of 40 years each in the Illinois State Penitentiary at Statesville.
Well, thank you, Lieutenant Thomas J. McGrath, for this most enlightening case history. And gangbusters, congratulations to all the members of the Chicago Police Department who participated in the investigation leading to the arrest and conviction of these dangerous criminals. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by Ted Corday, with Ted DeCorsia and Frank Reddick in leading roles.
Well, that's it for this time. We're back next time with more great old-time radio. Hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.